Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another video here. Today we're going to be watching Tucker Carlson's appearance on the BBC. I've seen a few clips going around. It made me excited. I want to review the whole thing to see how Tucker did. Now, a lot of people know that one of my ongoing copes is that Tucker Carlson is actually representing the American deep state and possibly still works for the CIA. And the very fact that he's going on the BBC and the BBC gave him all this time to a Sunday morning political kind of breakfast show is the real story here. Why is the BBC giving Tucker Carlson so much time? And what is it that Tucker is pushing here? That is of great interest to me. I have some coffee here to watch this together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Strap in. If it takes an hour, it takes an hour. You'll be able to see how long it takes by the length of this video. Just before we get going, I'll remind you to pick up courses at the Academic Agency. Mega Bundle has been a tremendous seller over this Easter period. Long may that continue. But if you just want to dip a toe in, Foundations of Research, Trivium would be the next step, and various other courses are available. Foundations of Shakespeare, of course, economics, politics, many other great courses. Foundations of Geometry by Al-Shahim was the latest course. Okay, so with all of that said, let us take a watch of Tucker. I will mute myself, and then the time-honored fashion come in when I think something important, you know, to give my analysis, as it were. All right, let's get going.
You tried to persuade Donald Trump not to go to war with Iran. You met him three times in the run-up to February the 28th, and you spoke to him on the phone multiple times. Donald Trump now says because of this action that he has taken, the US and the American people are safer. Is he wrong?
Well, of course, that's an absurd statement. He doesn't believe it, I don't think. No, of course not. I mean, we were told after the 12-day war in June that the United States had eliminated Iran's nuclear program, and then we were told in February that somehow that nuclear program had not only been resurrected, but it had been paired with ICBMs that could threaten continental United States. I mean, the whole thing is a fantasy. The United States went to war in Iran in order to effect regime change, to throw out the people who ran the country and collapse it. At the behest and then the demand of Israel. And that's a demand the Israelis...
Straight in there from Tucker. Straight in there. Trump did this because of Israel. Everything he said is codswallop. Strong start from Tucker. But you can see that he wants BBC... that, like, don't forget, millions of people would have watched this. Normies, non-political folk, you know, just enjoying a croissant on a Sunday morning. Watching the BBC will have seen this go out. And I find it interesting that the BBC, in a, you've got to remember, in showbiz, it's much like pro wrestling, right? You've got to see, but like, okay, even though Victoria Derbyshire is set up here as the regime mouthpiece, you know, to push back, to, you know, give all the usual talking points, the very fact that Tucker is there means that this whole interview could have been set up to put Tucker over, as it were, to get him over with a wider audience. And also for that audience to consider the points that he's making. Point number one that he's made, the only reason America's in this war is because of Israel. Okay, let's carry on.
...have made of the U.S. government for decades, and President Trump fell for it, did it. And I think he recognized immediately that it was a mistake and that it's very...
He's lent into the fell for it again award meme there. He's mentioned that. That's interesting, too. Okay, I'll try not to interrupt too much. Let's take it away, Tucker. Come on.
Hard to extricate yourself from a war like this once it has begun. And I think the net effect, and the president himself has said this, is at best to leave the regime in place, give that regime control over commodities that flow through the straits at the eastern end of the Persian Gulf, in effect to make Iran much more powerful than it was on February 27th, the day before the war began.
On that subject of being more powerful, I mean, you will know that the president has said, because of me, Iran will now never have a nuclear weapon. There will be no enrichment of uranium, and we will dig up and remove all the deeply buried nuclear dust. Pete Hegseth said Epic Fury has decimated Iran's military and rendered it combat ineffective for years to come. You don't believe that?
Now, let me just point out again, okay, this is the kayfabe. This is the Victoria Darber show is putting Trump admin talking points to Tucker for Tucker to knock down. The audience watching this, the net effect of it, whether Victoria Darber show or the BBC producers want it, I suppose they do want it, is actually to put over Tucker's point of view. That is actually what is happening in this interview. And it's a very interesting development because the BBC is the British state. And if Tucker is the CIA or the American state, this is the American deep state talking to the British deep state and putting over this point of view. Very, very interesting, friends.
They're lying?
Well, of course, it's not true. And it also reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of Iran's power. Iran is not primarily a military power, though it's turned out to be much more effective than anyone thought. Iran is an economic power. Iran has the power to halt a critical supply chain, maybe the single most critical supply chain in the global economy, which is shipping out of the Persian Gulf. And it retains that power because of its geography. And it's always had that power. It just hasn't exercised it until now. And so not understanding that allows you to enter into an engagement like this with the belief that you can beat them, sink their navy, destroy their air force, degrade their missile capacity, and you will somehow.
This is a kind of an important point as well. One of the things that has kind of slightly irritated me about mainstream, should I say, or kind of MSM accounts of what's going on, is during the actual war, they focused solely on US and Israeli actions, like the US-Israeli bombing campaign that I talked a little bit about this yesterday, that took place where they, you know, were hitting the same site over and over again. We hit 15,000 different targets, blah, 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 blah. It is the most effective campaign ever, blah, 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 blah. But they do not take into account the things that the Iranians did during the actual war, including taking out the American radars, taking out the American bases in the Gulf, hitting Tel Aviv. Somebody corrected me. They apparently it was exactly 100 waves of drones and missiles hit Tel Aviv over the course of the 40 days. And I don't know why that is ignored by many kind of mainstream outlets. Not all of them, but some of them. And this has led to widely differing analyses on who has what they call escalation dominance, or who had escalation dominance in the war. And I've heard different British generals, depending on where they stand on the issue, some British generals say categorically the Iranians had escalation dominance, whereas the ones who were more kind of, let's say, regime friend, like Israel friendly, let's put it that way, or more kind of gung-ho about war or more kind of telegraph, they have said, it's easily been the Americans who had escalation dominance. So that is something that I still find quite confusing in why it is that they basically ignore all of the Iranian offensive campaign that happened during the war, its various retaliations and escalations. But anyway, let me stop trying to interrupt Tucker or we'll be here all day. Sorry, guys.
One, but of course, the opposite is true. There is no way out at this point from that fundamental reality. If the United States were to eliminate the central government in Tehran, it wouldn't open the strait. The strait could be closed by piracy. In fact, you need a central government in Tehran to keep the strait open. And we know that from the Houthis, who were able to close the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. And many years of war with the Gulf states, briefly with the United States, have not ended the Houthis' ability to close access to the Red Sea. They have it as of right now. So this is an asymmetrical problem. It doesn't matter how many aircraft carriers you have. You still can't prevent other people, your enemies in this case, from closing shipping lanes. It can be done with mines. Like this whole thing, this whole problem is very.
So kind of interesting that the Tucker brings up, even if you got your way and did away with the government, pirates could come in. Very good point from Tucker.
Very easy to understand. And you would have to be either not very bright or under immense pressure from another country in order to start a war like this. And the latter is true. We did this because of pressure from Israel. Now,
no, he's brought it back. Two questions asked, two answers where he's hammered back the point. It's Israel. Now, why is Tucker doing this? Why is he making sure that he always brings it back? Because he knows the BBC, being dishonest, being slippery, are going to keep on chopping this up. You know, maybe this clip will go out or that clip will go out. So Tucker is trying to make sure no matter which way they slice it, this point is going to land. There's no way of clipping him without him hammering this home. This is Tucker as a wily veteran, both Fox host and, of course, for years now as an independent. You know, he's been around the block, Tucker. He knows what he's doing.
How exactly did they exert that pressure? That's not entirely clear, but we're going to have to find out. I think we have an obligation to find out.
And of
because
course,
we can't be a sovereign country under these circumstances. And we're not a sovereign country at this point.
And obviously, Donald Trump would push right back on that. And you have been, until now, really, a huge supporter of his. You wanted him elected, obviously,
yes,
for a second term. Have you completely fallen out with him over this war, then?
Well, I haven't fallen out with him. I mean, I've known him for decades. I've always liked him. And I think anyone who spent time with him likes him. I feel sorry for him, as I do for all slaves. He is not.
Wow. I feel sorry for him as I do for all slaves. Live on the BBC Sunday breakfast to Victoria Derbyshire's face. That's my jaw dropping that he just said that. Incredible. I mean, people, see, this is one of the things why I've always defended Tucker as against a lot of people who have problems, or he's containment, or he's doing this for this reason or that reason, he's a counter gang, etc. Listen, having watched Tucker for years, he consistently, right, people love to talk about Overton window, he consistently smashes through that. He knew that that would be the bit that was clipped. That was one of the bits I saw going round, in fact, and he knew that. The language is incredible. He's a slave. Wow, I just jaw-dropping. And true, by the way, and true.
Free in this moment at all to do what he thinks is best for himself or his country.
What do you mean?
No, he's not free. And we learned that yesterday when Donald Trump announced a ceasefire, clearly with relief, and made its terms or most of its terms public. And then that ceasefire ended within 2 hours because Israel intentionally violated the terms by attacking not just southern Lebanon, but the city of Beirut.
So are you saying he's a slave to Benjamin Netanyahu?
Wow, that's just incredible. And she didn't really have anything to come back on because those are the facts. Now, I don't know what the views of Victoria Derbyshire are, or if she's willingly playing the jobber here, but this is basically like Tucker on prime time. You know, people love to talk about, you know, red pilling the normies and so on. You know, this is going to reach your granddad watching this. Who's watching the BBC? They're going to understand the things that he's saying. And nobody can deny that the what he just said is true. Those are actually the facts of the matter.
So I don't think it's as simple as he's under the control of Netanyahu. But, you know, you could summarize it that way and you wouldn't be totally inaccurate. And again, we know this because the single biggest mistake Trump or any American president in my lifetime has made was going to war with Iran in an effort to change its regime. It didn't work. It was obviously a mistake immediately. Trump understood it was a mistake immediately. And he tried to get out of it this week.
Okay.
And announced we were getting out of it, and the Israelis prevented us from getting out of it. So that's the clearest possible example.
Fact, absolute fact. And there's, I mean, she is trying to do this BBC thing of being like trying to be adversarial, but you can tell that she's got very little ammo to come back on. because these are the facts of the matter. And as more, the more it stares people in the face, the more it becomes undeniable, the fewer and fewer comebacks there are going to be. This is going to be the political reality going forward. Tucker is the future. Okay, I'm doing what Trump has done is the past. This is why Viktor Orban was ejected from office stunningly after, you know, cozying up to Trump, having J.D. Vance there, and also being somewhat of a slave himself. This is the fate of politicians who don't learn the lessons, who pick up the Fell For It Again award, and also their followers who refuse to learn the lessons. And Tucker is teaching you and teaching the British audience and teaching the British rightoid, who do need to be taught because they're all thick as mints, to be frank, this lesson. And you're going to need to be hammered again and again until you get it. Because trust me, even this morning, lots of people still don't get it.
Right.
They didn't allow it. Therefore, they're in charge.
You will know that people, including the Vice President, J.D. Vance, say things like, look, ceasefires are always messy to start with. Give it a few days. It'll settle down. Let me move on, because I want to ask you about the British Prime Minister. Sir Keir Starmer was criticised by the US President. He said, this is not Winston Churchill we're dealing with. Do you think Keir Starmer has made the right calls in this war?
I don't think Keir Starmer makes any calls about anything. I mean, Keir Starmer's not.
Well, he did make a call.
Incredible answer to start with. Incredible answer to come back, deny the frame. You know, this may be studied as a textbook of how to deal with mainstream journalists and the mainstream front. Deny the frame. I mean, personally, I think, you know, to the extent that Starmer's made decisions, he's made good ones here, but fantastic lesson in breaking the frame, from denying the frame, break the frame, textbook. And don't forget, Tucker has decades of experience of dealing with all these people, so this is why he's so good at it.
About this,
obviously, right? Okay. No, Keir Starmer is every bit as enslaved as Donald Trump is. It is illegal. It is a crime for which you can be arrested in Britain right now, criticizing Israel. If you say you're for Palestine action, you can be arrested. A lot of people have been arrested. So in other words, it is not legal in Britain to criticize another country. And that tells you about Britain's sovereignty. Okay. It doesn't have any. Its prime minister has no sovereignty.
Mr. Carlson,
those are facts.
That is,
I have family
that is
there.
Not true. And in terms of this war, I'm specifically asking.
I'm sorry. What is not?
Mr. Carlson, that is not true. Okay, so now we're on the realm of fact. Tucker has lured her into this little rhetorical trap, and let's see what he does about it.
What is not true about that? Have people not been arrested in Britain for criticizing Israel? They certainly have been. There's videotape of it.
If I may, Palestine Action is a proscribed group. It is banned. Therefore, people have been arrested.
Why is it banned?
That is correct.
Why is it banned?
I'm asking you a question.
Why is it banned? You see? Why is it banned? Why was it prescribed as a terrorist organization? And Tucker is getting to the root of the issue. And she is struggling here. She's struggling. 500 people arrested just this past weekend, by the way. And old Dr. Aladawan, she hasn't been on social media since her fifth arrest. She's completely disappeared. God knows what they're doing to her. So, you know, what Tucker is saying is true.
Specifically about Keir Starmer's
decisions. It's banned because the Israeli government wanted it banned.
And you will know that
he is now pushing. It's banned because the Israeli government wanted it banned. He is now not letting the point go. Come on. Don't let her get away, Tucker.
February the 28th, if I may. On February the 28th, which was the day the US launched its action, the British Prime Minister told the country that he was not joining with the US because he thought it was illegal and that there was no viable plan. So clearly he made a sovereign decision, which he said was in the interests of the country. And I'm asking you, do you think he made the right call there?
Any government that bans criticism of a foreign government is not sovereign. The British government has banned criticism of Israel, therefore it's not sovereign. It's acting on behalf.
Look, denied the question, brought back to the point. He's not going to let the point go, because that's the point he wants to hammer home. This is textbook. This is an expert dismantling of Victoria Derbyshire. It's like watching a technician go, like watching Dean Malenko, you know, with 1,000 different holds, making this woman submit. It's incredible. It's really a very good performance from Tucker in a setting that we're not used to seeing him, you know, up against the BBC. Tremendous.
Another country to the detriment of its own citizens. So let's just be really clear about that.
The British government Britain has not a sovereign banned country. Criticism of the Israeli government.
It certainly has by banning Palestine action, which has nothing to do with Britain at all or its critical interests at all. I often criticize Britain, but I love Britain. And I've, as I said, I have family there. And I don't think that Britons understand just how badly they've been shafted by the United States. And I am ashamed of that.
Tremendous, tremendous. Like, he's just not letting it go. And now he's moved on to Britain being shafted by the USA. It's almost like Tucker is catching up with my content here, was catching the British public up with stuff I've been saying for years. Amazing. Truly is amazing.
And I hope that we will do everything we can to rectify it. I know that Keir Starmer understands that. He doesn't seem to care. He doesn't have, again, the control to do anything about it, which is sad to see. The debasement of the country is sad for me to see. But I hope that our next president strikes a far more conciliatory and cooperative tone with Britain and tries to help Britain, because it has a lot of problems that will be very obvious by the next time there's a presidential election in my country.
You have said that you have been called anti-Semitic because of your opposition to the US joining Israel in fighting this war.
Yes.
In March, senior Republican Senator Ted Cruz said anti-Semitism is being spread by loud voices.
Ted Cruz, massive recipient of APAC money and a huge Zionist. She could have said that. She could have said by the Zionist Senator Ted Cruz, but she didn't.
Is the most consequential of whom is Tucker Carlson. Republican right. Congressman Randy Fine called you the most dangerous
Randy Fine, one of the most grotesque, disgusting men in all of America, kind of a hit, almost like a parody of a hateful, vile bigot, basically, is what Randy Fine is. You know, and also happens to be a massive, massive, massive cheerleader for Israel. Again, missing context that needed to be added, right? If the BBC was going to do impartial journalism.
He might in America. What do you say to that?
Of course, I'm not an anti-Semite, and that's why they're calling me one, because my position on Israel has nothing to do with the religion or ethnicity of Israelis. It has everything to do with decisions made by its government that hurt my country. And so in order to avoid having that debate, the fastest and most expedient way to end it is by calling the person trying to raise it a bigot. And I just don't think that works anymore. I would say that what matters in...
It definitely does not work anymore. And I kind of agree. I agree with his whole frame here as well. I've always said it, that there's no point moving to the kind of, maximalist position on this. The framing of Tucker is actually the correct one for the political moment, in my view.
Politics and in life is what you do. I think anti-Semitism and racism of all kinds, including anti-white racism, are all immoral and anti-Christian, and I oppose them. You shouldn't judge people on the basis of how they were born, period.
Sure. And you said a moment ago, what matters in politics is what you do. You
correct.
Had... far-right commentator Nick Fuentes on your show, who, as you know, said...
No, she's bringing up Fuentes now. Interesting. Okay.
Hitler right. was really effing cool. Hitler was awesome. Hitler was right. Mm-hmm. The Holocaust didn't happen. And said on his podcast, in his view, Jewish people are the problem rather than Israel. I know right. you've said you've had him on because...
I disagree with that.
Right. Do you have concerns that broadcasting Nazi-loving, Holocaust-denying guests to your audience... and potentially mainstreaming and normalizing those views is an issue.
Isn't that incredible? She's asking him that while also mainstreaming and normalizing Tucker. Isn't it interesting, the dialectical situation going on here? She is mainstreaming Tucker for the BBC while also asking him this question. Fascinating, really.
I've said that I disagreed with Fuentes on those questions. I don't think that you should ever judge or attack people on the basis of their bloodline. I also interviewed Ted Cruz. I tried to interview Randy Fine. Both of them have
let me go back to the Nick Fuentes stuff.
If I can.
Right, here we go. Here we go. What's he going to come out with? I also interviewed Ted Cruz. Okay, here we, let's do this.
If I may finish my answer. Sure. I've interviewed both of them, or tried to interview Fine. He wouldn't, but I've interviewed Ted Cruz, as you noted. And both of them have defended the genocide in Gaza, the murder of children. And I would say that sending money to a military that murders children is a little bit more significant a moral crime than saying ugly things.
Do you think?
Tremendous. Absolutely curb stomping. Brilliant. Just what an answer from Tucker. He's doing everything so well. This is why I'm convinced that he's working on behalf of someone, because he hasn't put a foot wrong since he started this. It's immaculate the way he's dismantling this BBC shill here.
Fuentes is anti-Semitic. Do you think he is?
Sounded like it to me. I said that to him, and I said I oppose anti-Semitism, which I sincerely do. Right. And by the way, unlike the UK, we have a First Amendment. So if I was an anti-Semite, I guess I would just say so at this point. I don't know why I would lie about it, but I oppose it. And I've opposed it in public consistently for my entire public life.
Can I ask you what you thought when you read Donald Trump's post on Tuesday in which he said a whole civilization will die tonight?
I was horrified by it. And I was, look, as I've said, I don't think that Trump, who I continue to like, I don't think that Trump is in control. I don't think Trump is making these decisions. I know he's not, because I was present in the run-up to this. He's not making these decisions, and I feel sorry for him, as I've said. But more than Trump, anything to do with him or his future, is the effect on my country. Our leaders should not talk like that. They shouldn't. Our conflict is not with another civilization or another religion. It's with governments, at least conceptually, that do things that we don't like that are bad for us, and we have conflict over that. We can never declare war on a civilization. We shouldn't. That's immoral. What does that even mean? Does that include the children in that civilization? Of course it does.
You don't buy the argument. Look, this is what Donald Trump does. I mean, you've known him for years. This is what Donald Trump does. He uses extreme language to put pressure on to get some sort of concession.
I mean, there are two levels on which to assess this. One, the practical. Second, the moral. As a practical matter, did it work? Is the Strait open this morning? No, it's not. So it didn't work, okay? Its only effect likely is to engender a generational conflict with another civilization, another religion, another part of the world. How is that good for my grandchildren? Probably not. So practically, it doesn't work.
His frame again. How is this good for my grandchildren? You can learn a lot from Tucker Carlson, I'm telling you. Correct frame again. How is this good for my grandchildren? Very good.
Okay.
And morally, the words you use matter, and the more power you have, the more they matter. And so to declare war on a civilization in my name is just not acceptable. It doesn't mean I hate Trump. It means that's disgusting and wrong and hurts my country, and my obligation is to stand up and say so.
You've claimed a couple of times in our conversation that Donald Trump is not in control. Many Democrats, and also some on the right, former Trump allies like Marjorie Taylor Greene, are now calling for the president's removal, with some citing the 25th Amendment, which allows the vice president and the cabinet to declare that a president is no longer able to do the job.
Can I just say that Victoria Derbyshire has actually gone very easy on Tucker in this interview? She's almost been quite robot-like in the way that she's asked her questions. That in itself is quite interesting, I think.
Do you want to see him removed?
I want to see the system reformed. Once again, 2 days ago, the president, I mean, him, the president before him, the president before him, the president before him. All American presidents since 1963 have done substantially what Israel wanted us to do.
Another really interesting thing that Tucker is doing here, he's refusing to fixate on personalities. He's refusing to fixate, to fall into the rightoid trap of looking at an individual figure, and instead is insisting on looking at the structure of the system itself. His focus is the system itself. Absolutely tremendous from Tucker. He is giving you a lesson here in how not to be a rightoid.
And now it's really hurting us. And I've been aware of this for decades, and I haven't said one word about it because it's not worth the fight. But now I see our country, its economy, its understanding of itself, in the process of being destroyed because our leaders, and not just our president, our entire Congress, many of our governors, did the bidding of a foreign power. Right. And so the problem is not simply Trump.
Did the bidding of a foreign power. Powerful. Very, very good. I am so impressed by this Tucker Carlson outing. It's unreal.
The problem is the mechanism of control that allows a country of 9 million to control a country of 350 million. What is that mechanism? I'm not sure I know the answer. But we need to find out
Commander-in-Chief,
what that is.
Well, as you know, as Commander-in-Chief, he could have said no to Benjamin Netanyahu. Nope. Other presidents have. Joe Biden, Barack Obama.
You're absolutely right. And I made that point. And you're absolutely right, they did. And I wish our president had. But he didn't.
So it's not the system.
And he went into a war. Well, it is the system. Because the last president financed the Gaza genocide. The president before him, same thing.
You've said a couple of times in this interview that you really like Donald Trump. In March, you said you'll always love President Trump, no matter what he says about you. On Thursday, he called you low IQ, a nut job, a fool. Also, he suggested you should see a good psychiatrist. Are you going to continue to love him?
As I've said, I feel sorry for him as I do for all slaves, but I will always like him. I will say Trump is one of the funniest people I've ever met. I feel
making sure that the soundbite, if they clip that bit, the soundbite from earlier will make it into that as well.
Sorry for him. I think he has some great qualities. I've certainly spent a lot of time with him, and I will always like him. If he called me now, I'd take the call. I don't want anything from him.
Well, he says he says you're always calling him, and he doesn't pick up anymore.
Yeah, no, that I think that's not true. You can check my phone records, but I'm sure NSA already is. I'm not defensive about it.
What do the splits in the MAGA movement that we see now, former Trump allies like yourself, on the front foot, criticizing the president and the action he's taken, what do they mean for the future of MAGA?
I think MAGA as a movement was never clearly defined, probably for a reason. There was no real platform in the Republican convention in 2024. That was, of course, by design. And so I think the movement is whatever Donald Trump says it is. I think that's the definition. I don't know another. He turns 80 in June. So this is not a movement that's going to, you know, persist through the generations, I wouldn't think, since it's based on one man. But the idea that the U.S. government should act in the interest of its own population, or that any government should act in the interest of its own population, is a kind of core tenet of democracy. In fact, that's the definition of democracy, the people rule. And I think that will long outlive all of us, I hope.
Do you wonder what's going through her head, how she's processing this Victoria Derbyshire? I wonder what she's actually thinking.
Because it's the only form of government that makes inherent sense.
I wanted to ask you about the Melania Trump press conference, very unusual, where she denied connections to Jeffrey Epstein and said that any claims linking her and him need to end today. What do you think is going on there?
Strictly speaking, I don't know what's going on there. I know the White House communication staff had no idea she was going to say that. So it's one of two possibilities. Either she was reading speculation about her relationship with Epstein on the internet and she was upset and wanted to clear her name, which is totally possible. Or there was something else going on. So the Israeli government has a long and well-documented track record of using sex scandal or the appearance of scandal to force American political leaders.
Brought it back to Israel again, making sure that the point is not lost at any point. He's brought it back consistently to the central theme in a masterclass of how to deal with mainstream journalists. I will say, though, she was soft on him. She could have argued a lot more or been a lot more disruptive, but she actually gave him a lot of space to talk and was very respectful, I thought, and almost robot-like, like I said.
Leaders into doing its bidding. You hope it wasn't that, but I did notice that within an hour or two after that press conference, a piece came out, I think in the Daily Beast, alleging some connection between Melania Trump and Epstein, which was obviously hurtful to her and embarrassing to the first family. So I don't know if there's any kind of connection, but I do know once again, this is a fact, that sex scandals are used, probably not just by the Israeli government, probably lots of foreign governments. It's not just the Israelis. I just want to be clear.
I mean, I am going to point out, I probably don't need to because our audience will can see and hear for themselves. Pretty much everything that you've said in our conversation, Tucker Carlson, you have put at the door of the Israeli government.
Yes. Yes, Victoria Derbyshire. And I wonder if the BBC audience got that and took it on board and understood what he was saying. I think a lot of normal people do.
Now, to some people, that will be evidence that you are anti-Semitic. You are anti-Jewish.
Oh, I know. I'm very anti-Semitic. And well, first of all, the state of Israel does not speak for all Jews at all, despite its claims. It does not. There are many, many Jews, many of whom I know, who don't think the Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu speaks for them.
No.
I'm speaking of the government, not religion.
You were suggesting that, Victoria Derbyshire. You were suggesting it. He's got you on the ropes. Go on, Tucker. Big boot, leg drop, finisher.
I was suggesting was that a lot of the things that you've
I've been in this business longer
today.
Than you, and I understand what a slur looks like. And you're attempting to call me an anti-Semite in a passive-aggressive way. Some people would say that. Well, I'm responding to your slur and saying that it's untrue. It does not apply to me. Doubtless there are anti-Semites who don't like Israel. I'm not an anti-Semite. I don't hate Israel. The Israeli government, this is documented, and I saw it personally, steered the United States into a war that hurts the United States and the world. I'm offended by that. I didn't want it, and I'm mad about it now. I have every right to feel that way. That does not make me an anti-Semite, despite your insinuation. And I think it's important that I say that. And by the way, I hope that you run this. I can't control whether or not you air this exchange. I hope that you will, because I think it's important to push back against slurs like that, because they limit our ability to understand what's actually happening. This is not an attack by Jews on the United States. This is Benjamin Netanyahu moving the United States to do something he thinks will benefit him, but that does not benefit us. It's that simple.
Tucker Carlson, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And there it is. Well, I have to say that was a masterclass, an absolute textbook, ABC, on how to own the frame, dismantle the frame, dismantle the games the mainstream media journalists play. I think it was a setup, personally. I think that whether she knew it or not, I suppose she must have known it, that interview was specifically to put forward Tucker Carlson's argument to the British public to get that point of view over as part of, again, according to my own COPE theory, as part of a deep state operation involving both the British government and MI6 and the American government and the CIA. Otherwise, why is this exchange happening? Why is the exchange happening at all? Why does he get 20 minutes of airtime? So, more meat on the bones of my COPE theory, but also an absolutely phenomenal job by Tucker there. A star. Full marks, sir. All right. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Let me know what you made of this one, and I'll see you all again soon. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.